Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashanthi Nilayam, bringing you live broadcast every Thursday in the Asia stream of Radio Sai. The proceedings in the Mandir ended just now, and the meditative atmosphere created by the Vedic chants and the bhajans still linger in my mind. It's now time for us to get back to the live program scheduled for you for this evening. And this is Ganesh inviting you all for this week's Vedam Tutor. Today, once again, we extend our warm welcome to you, sir. Welcome to the studios of Radio Sai for this week's Vedam Tutor, and over to Praveena, sir.
Sai Ram, when we chant these Vedic mantras, to maintain an appropriate Shruti, I feel we can use the musical instruments also. During ancient times, when sages and seers and even the students, the shishyas, who used to learn these Vedic mantras under them, they used to have a long practice and they used to spend a lot of time learning these Vedic mantras and maintaining the Shruti in such cases was not a difficult venture for them. But as we see nowadays, when we are busy with our own work and when we are not able to spend much time for learning of the Vedas, Vedic mantras, to maintain appropriate Shrutis, I feel we can use the musical instruments, because we may chant for a short period of time or even sometime a bit longer period of time, but it may help us to keep the Shruti, and that's how the vibrations which are created while chanting these Vedic mantras can be retained throughout our Vedic chanting. And as all of us know, the verses in Sanskrit, it could be the Vedic mantras, suktas, which are written in various meters or chandas. So also we can see in the classical Sanskrit, all those stotras and different verses also written in specific meters or the chandas. However, there is a bit of difference between the Vedic meter and also the meter that's used in the classical Sanskrit. Vedic meters are generally divided into two classes. First one is ordinary meters. When a verse does not exceed 48 syllables, now that constitutes the ordinary meter. Then we have the second type, long meters. They are called ati chandas. When a verse consists of syllables from 52 to 104, and irregularly, sometimes it could be even 106. That constitutes the ati chandas. However, the first class, that is, the ordinary meters, they are further divided into two important groups. And we can see, they are even meters called samachandas. Example, jagati. And then we have the vishamachandas, the uneven meters. Example, brihati. Then we also have a third category called compound meters, ati chandas. Example, shakakari. Here a verse is made up of two or more verses. If a verse of 1 meter is followed by one or two verses of different meters, the whole together forms a compound verse. Example, pragatha. So in general we have, in the composition of these Vedic mantras, various meters such as Anushtup, Gayatri, Jagati, Pratishta, Pragada, Sankirna, commonly seen. A number of syllables in each foot or pada varies. But slight difference that you can see in the modern Sanskrit, classical Sanskrit, where the verses or various stotras are written in different meters, which includes Indra Vajra, Upendra Vajra, Upajati, Shalini, Vasanta Tilaka, Malini, Shikarini, Harini, Mandakranta, Sraddhara, and even Trishtup, Anushtup, etc. So, we can see all these verses, they have specific number of syllables in each pada, and number of pada also varies. For example, when we chant the Gayatri mantra, why this name Gayatri has come? We have various Gayatris which are chanted after various Vedic deities. It could be Agni Gayatri, Narasimha Gayatri, Aditya Gayatri, or even Vishnu Gayatri, Durga Gayatri, Devi Gayatri, etc. But in all these Gayatris, one thing is common. The number of padas or the feet, and also the number of syllables in each pada. That's why the name has come. The Gayatri Chandas. Gayatri Chandasam Mata. And Gayatri is said to be one of the meters very commonly seen in Vedic literature and seem to be very sacred one, and many of the verses are written in this Gayatri Chandas, Gayatri meter. However, we can see these verses could be written even in some of the very simple chandas or the meter, like Anushtup, where each pada consists of only 8 syllables. And many of the verses, the stotras, are also written in this particular Anushtup meter. And apart from that, when we discuss about the way of chanting of these various Vedic mantras, important points to be taken care of and how we have to chant. Suppose a particular word in a mantra ends with swara, oval, and the very next word starts with another oval. According to Vedas or Vedic chanting, what we can notice very clearly is sandhis will not take place in many of the places. That's why, to indicate that, a slight pause after chanting the previous word and before chanting the next word. Slight pause is given in some way of Vedic chanting.
Sir, most commonly in our normal Vedic chanting in our mandir, and even when the Dashara Yajnam time, we had seen that in some of the chantings there are some gaps given. For example, in Purushottam, Virajo Abhi, there is a gap between this thing. And there are some more places, in many of the mantrams.
Yes.
There are a lot of gaps given. I mean, apparently there is no comma or a visarga.
Yes.
But still we tend to give a gap. Can you just explain?
This is only to indicate that sandhis are not formed between those two words. If you see the Vedic script, which has come intact without any kind of variation, and even today, although sandhis could be formed, either the provision for the sandhis could be formed between those two words, but yet we don't club those words. No sandhi is formed. Now this is the way in which chanting has come through the generations. For example, when you consider some of the examples, such as, take one sentence from the Purushasuktam. Tasmadashva ajayanta. Tasmadashva, this particular word ends with swara, dashva. But the very next word starts with ajayanta, a. Again, another oval. So, actually, between these two ovals, a plus a or a plus a should become a. We should have chanted actually tasmadashva ajayanta. But Vedic chanting is not showing this particular sandhi between these two words. That's why, to indicate that there is no sandhi between these two words, tasmadashva ajayanta, a slight pause is given. Tena deva ayajanta.
Sir, one more, in the same thing.
Yes.
Virajo adhipurushaha.
Yes, exactly. This also you can find in the case of mantram, such as Purushuktam. Virajo, here dhirgaswara followed by a oval. You can see, you don't chant it as Virajo Adhipurusha, but to indicate that sandhi is not formed and it has come throughout the generations without forming a sandhi to show that we have to pause slightly. Virajo adhipurushaha sajato atyarichata agnirva apamayatanam vayurva apamayatanam. So such indications ensures that the clarity and intonations, purity of the intonations remain intact throughout the generations as we chant these Vedic mantras.
Sir, one more clarification was regarding same Purushottam.
Yes.
When we have a verse like Sashana Nashane Abhi, when you have a lot of low pitch intonations,
yes,
why the last one is stressed a little more?
Yes. In one of the sessions earlier, I had indicated this one, that in Vedic chanting, unlike what we find in the case of shlokas that we see in the classical Sanskrit, which do not carry intonations or the various pitches of the sound. But these Vedic mantras are very unique and special in the sense that these Vedic mantras carry the intonations. And the efficacy of Vedic mantra lies in the intonations, pronunciation, clarity of the words, etc. And udatta, anudatta, swarita, dirghaswarita. Now such intonations which are commonly seen in Vedic chanting, they have to be chanted in the correct way. As you indicated in this particular line, sashana nashane abhi. If you see this particular word taken from Purusha Suktam, all the letters, sa, sha, na, na, sha, ne, all these letters actually carry the downward intonation, low pitch intonations. Then actually we should have chanted like sa, sha, na, na, sha, but actually it's not so. When we have continuously such letters carrying downward intonations, yes, we are supposed to chant them slightly down. But the last syllable, the last letter which carries the same intonation will get little more extra stress. So it will be sa sha na na sha ne abhi. So that's how we can see the last syllable will get little more extra stress, downward stress in such context. So that may be the correct way of chanting.
Sir, if you take the case of Rudram,
yes,
the fourth anuvaka,
yes,
there is this particular line which says Namo Mahadbhyaha Kshullake Bhyascha. Even if you see the script in the books, there is a comma given there.
Yes.
Is there any
yes.
specific reason for the comma?
Now, this indication is only to tell us that you are supposed to again pause a bit. Any visarga followed by ksha, we are supposed to have a small pause. Even another in the same paragraph, I think, Namaha Kshatrabhya Sangha Hetrabhyasya. So here also we pause slightly. So namaha, that particular word ends with anus visarga, followed by ksha. So in such cases, we are supposed to pause slightly and then chant it. So this is the normal rules and regulation that may help us or may guide us to chant correctly these Vedic mantras.
Sir, actually there is in Purusha Suktam and various of other mantras, in the script when we go through, we see some symbols like S and double S, which are not regular syllables which we see.
Yes.
For example, in Purusha Suktam,
yes,
Pado Osyeha Bhavat Punaha, there the double S comes.
Yes.
When we are chanting, is there any significance that we have to attach to this?
Yes. Now, this is to indicate there is a sandhi which is formed between the words. Actually, when you say padosya, you said there is a particular symbol. So, if you split the word, asya is the second word, then you see the previous word, padaha. But this padaha becomes pado, a lopasandhi. So, to indicate that, and also followed by another, so pado, padaha becomes pado, ends with oval, again starts with another oval. So to indicate this particular sandhi, usually we designate mark with that particular letter, symbol, okay, sometimes to indicate, yes, there is a very strong and also double or even dirghasara which follows. We even sometimes mark two such symbols showing the yes marking. This is only the indicative of such sandhi which are formed between those ovals or the swaras and also the previous one, the lopa sandhi which has been created because of the visarga which has gone and a O has come.
So one common doubt which we encounter, Gayatri Mantra,
yes,
Tat Savitur Varenyam,
yes,
that Varenyam,
yes,
we have to chant it Varenyam or Varenyam. What is, like, some people say that you should chant it, they should give a small break when we chant in that. What is the correct way of chanting that, sir?
Okay. Actually, correct way of chanting, or if you see the word, Varenyam is, that Nyam is Sanyuktakshara. However, when we chant this particular Gayatri Mantra, the normal Vishwamitra Gayatri that we are familiar with, Tatsavitru Varenyam, it's Varenyam. However, we are supposed to slightly space out. It becomes Vareniyam. Ni plus Yam. If you see the Gayatri meter itself, the Gayatri meter consists of three padas, and each pada having eight syllables, and you start counting. Tat, sa, vi, tu, va, re, niyam. When you chant like this, you'll get only seven letters. Then how does it fulfill the rules and regulation of the Gayatri mantra? That's why, actually, we are supposed to then split. The Nyam, the Sanyuktakshara, is supposed to be split as Niyam. That's why it is said, Yakarenaiva Ashtatvam Puranam. So yes, it should become Tatsa Viturvareniyam. Then you can see the fulfillment of the Gayatri Mantra requirement. Gayatri means Chandas requirement. Vareniyam. Even if you take another example, Trambakam Yajamahe, the Mrityunjaya Mantra, that you get a part of the Rudram. Actually, it is Trambakam Yajamahe. But usually, we are used to chanting Trayambakam Yajamahe. Actually, but there is nothing wrong in chanting like this. Both mean the same. But the correct version is, it is actually Samyuktakshara. It is Trambakam Yajamahe. So that's how you can see the various places, the certain important things that you are supposed to remember while chanting of these Vedic mantras, because the vibrations that are created while chanting these Vedic mantras, we are supposed to chant from the throat, from within the throat. So Vedic chanting should be done not merely from the lips, should come from within, deep throat, from the nabi itself. Then the real vibrations will be created.
Sir, has Swami told any specifics about how we should be chanted, how we should not be chanted?
Yes, yes. Bhagwan has also referred to the correct way of chanting. Initially, as all of us know, in the beginning, if we are the learners of Vedic mantras, because so many intonations are there, and we may struggle to get these intonations correctly. And obviously, we tend to move our heads up and down or sideways, etc. And sometimes even we use our hands also, moving up and downward along with the intonations going up and down. There may not be much problem with these things initially, but Swami has pointed out very clearly, as we keep on chanting, we have to reduce these things. We don't get used to moving our heads too much, or even hands too much, or various body parts too much, so that our emphasis will not go on to these movements of the body parts, but the moderation should come only from the throat part. We should be able to create such vibrations only by the modulations which are created from within. So that will be the correct way of chanting, and that will be able to produce the correct vibrations. And we can see, even today, many of the people, when they chant, or as they keep on chanting, they make too much of body gestures, too much of movement of head or the hands, etc. which actually Swami said may not be good for the correct way of chanting. So, thus we can see the Vedic mantras, which are very powerful, which have even the power to cleanse our own body, our own mind, and even the surroundings. That's why a separate school of thought which talks about a mantra therapy, which is able to purify one's body, one's mind, and even the surroundings, which is, I feel, the need of the hour. When we see and feel everything is getting polluted outside, how can we cleanse? How can we clean our own environment? I think this can be done only by these Vedic vibrations, which carry all the good vibrations, spiritual vibrations, and the capacity to neutralize the evil effect and make oneself very pure and sanctified. I think we have made our own humble attempts to know how to chant the Vedic mantras and maybe how we can really create a better environment and cleanse ourselves by possibly correct way of chanting these Vedic mantras, which are said to be very, very powerful. We sincerely will try henceforth to reduce these errors or the mistakes, common mistakes that we may commit, and ensure that we try to improve ourselves in chanting the Vedic mantras, so that the real power, the real efficacy of the Vedic mantras, Vedic chanting, will be felt and experienced by each one of us. However, any further clarification, doubts, etc., you can write to us to this particular address, listener@radiosai.org. Thank you very much. Sai Ram.
Thank you, Praveena sir.
Welcome, Ganesh.
Now I hand over the mic to Brother Bishu to take over with the Radio Sai Bhajan Tutor.
you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And Prashanti these days is really getting full. There is a big group from West Bengal. They have arrived to do service for the next 15 days. And most importantly, as Christmas is around the corner, there are devotees from all parts of the globe converging in this divine hamlet for this holy festival. Really, you can experience the brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God. Just walk in the streets of Prashanti. Slowly, the different parts of the ashram are getting new looks. The Western canteen wears a colorful attire in the nights with its glowing lights. There are huge and new beautiful pictures of Swami in many vantage areas of the ashram. And on this Christmas, you will see a new cyclone hall. There will be beautiful new printed pictures of Swami. The entire cyclone hall will get a completely new attire. It is really going to get exciting. There is also going to be the Christmas Mass. There are devotees who are preparing for it. There are a group of children from the Balvikas and a school which is adopted by many Western devotees who are training these little children who are from very impoverished backgrounds to present a play in front of Bhagwan. So on the sidelines there are a couple of programs, many colorful but all so beautiful and being done with so much love from people from all parts of the globe. And as you see all of this, you wonder how much love Swami has poured into the heart of each one of these devotees. Let the glory of God be sung in varied tongues, in different languages, and in a plethora of voices. That is what Baba always said. And this is exactly what we will be discussing today, dear listeners, in today's Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. You are listening to the Asia Stream, our live broadcast on Thursdays from the studios of Radio Sai, and I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, happily at your service. And before we move on, let us first offer our loving salutations at the lotus feet of our sweet Lord, our Divine Master, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the light of our lives. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we reach the level that you expect us to, that we see the light of divine spark in every being, everywhere, and live with the awareness that we indeed are the light of supreme, divine, unconditional, selfless love. That you are. Bless us, Lord, with this divine gift and awareness. With this heartfelt prayer, let's move on and begin this yet another episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And today, we learn a multi-faith bhajan, a vibrant one written in the language Hindi. The first line goes like this.
Ram kaho, Krishna kaho, ईश्वर अल्लाह साई कहो.
The essence of this bhajan is best exemplified by what Bhagwan once declared. He said, I am the embodiment of all the forms that men have imposed on Godhead in order to cherish Him in their hearts. I have no name. All names are mine. I shall respond to whatever name you know me by. And in this bhajan, we will be calling out to Lord Almighty by using various names that followers of different faiths adore. This bhajan has 6 lines in all, and let's begin by first becoming familiar with the lyrics, and after this we will move on to the tune, the raga, the beat, and then the meaning of every word of this bhajan, and finally we will have a short conversation with Arvind Sai, a former student of Bhagwan's University, who since the year 2007 has had the opportunity to sing in the Divine Presence. In fact, in the last 5 years, he has had really very precious, exceptional opportunities to perform before Bhagwan. In fact, on many occasions, Bhagwan has beckoned him to perform specially very, very unique concerts and music programs to his liking. So that is coming up towards the end of the program. Let's begin now with the lyrics of this bhajan, Ram Kaho, Krishna Kaho.
Ram Kaho, Krishna Kaho, Ishwara Allah, Sai Kaho, Buddha Kaho, Guru Nanak Kaho, Zarashtra Mahavira, Yeshu Kaho, Yugavatar Tuma Ho, Vishwa Shakti Tuma Ho, Sarva Dharma Priya Sai Mahesha Parabrahma Tuma Ho.
Now that you know the lyrics, let's move on to the interesting stage of learning to sing this bhajan. First, you will hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line slowly without any musical accompaniment. So, dear listeners, listen carefully, and as Brother Anirudh follows Brother Ravi, after every line, you too, please sing along.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Pancham. Ram kaho, Krishna kaho, Ishwar Allah Sai kaho.
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 Buddha kaho, Guru Nanak kaho, Zarashtra Mahavir Yeshu kaho.
Buddha kaho, Guru Nanak kaho, Zarashtra Mahavir Yeshu kaho.
Buddha kaho, Guru Nanak kaho, Zarashtra Mahavir Yeshu kaho.
Buddha kaho, Guru Nanak kaho, Zarashtra Mahavir Yeshu kaho.
Ram kaho, Krishna kaho, Ishwar Allah Sai kaho.
Ram kaho, Krishna kaho, Ishwar Allah Sai kaho.
Yugavatar Tum Ho, Vishwa Shakti Tum Ho.
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 Sarva Dharma Priya Sai Mahesha.
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 Parabrahma Tumaho.
Parabrahma Tumaho.
Sai Parabrahma Tumaho.
Sai Parabrahma Tumaho.
Ram kaho, Krishna kaho, ईश्वर अल्लाह साई कहो.
एंड नाउ फॉर दोज हु आर इंटरेस्टेड इन द कंपोजिशन ऑफ दिस भजन, आई हैव विद मी नाउ ब्रदर अनिरुद्ध, हु इज गोइंग टू शेयर विद अस अबाउट द स्वरास दैट मेक दिस भजन. वेलकम अनिरुद्ध टू दिस प्रोग्राम.
थैंक यू विशु ब्रदर.
सो टेल अस अनिरुद्ध, इन विच रागा इज दिस भजन बेस्ड?
द रागा ऑफ दिस भजन इज वेरी कॉमन एंड वेरी पॉपुलर. It is Mohanam in Carnatic classical music, and it is called Bhupali in Hindustani classical music. The Arohana and the Avarohana of the Raga go like this.
Sa Re Ga Pa Dha Sa. Sa da pa ga re sa. Sa re ga pa dha sa, sa da pa ga re sa.
All Shuddha Swaras.
This raga is a pentatonic raga where you have five notes while going up and coming down. And you have Re, Re 2, Ga, Ga 3, which is major.
Pa, Dha, Sa.
And the Dhaivat is Dha 2.
Sa, Dha, Pa, Ga, Re, Sa.
I'll just give you the feel of the raga.
Sure.
Raga will sound very beautiful on flute, especially early in the morning where you have the ambience, like you have birds chirping
and the morning serene ambience.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful. And I guess there are a lot of bhajans in this raga, right?
Yeah, there are many bhajans. One of them is
Giridhar Gopala,
and you have many Shiva bhajans. Like
Har 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 Saba Shiva Chandrakala Dhar Saba Sada Shiva.
Also you have
Hari Hari Sumiran Hari Hari Bhajo Man.
And we have heard Hari Hari Sumiran in one of our previous bhajan classrooms.
Yeah.
And you, at that time too, explained beautifully this Mohanam Raga. And I remember you sang that song.
Gana, Gana, Sundara.
Yes. Wonderful.
Very popular song.
Very popular song, yeah.
Telugu.
Thank you very much, Anirudh. I think that kind of gives a very clear idea of this common Raga,
yes.
Mohanam.
Yes.
And on which as you mentioned, there are many bhajans which are based on these on this raga, Bilawal.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sai Ram.
Coming now to the rhythm of this bhajan, it is the 8-beat Kehrva Taal in Hindustani music or the Adi Taalam in Carnatic music. And now, let's move on to understanding the meaning and import of this multi-faith bhajan. Only when we understand and imbibe what is conveyed in this bhajan, will we be able to sing it with feeling. And feeling is what is most, most important. So let's begin with the first line.
Ram kaho, Krishna kaho, Ishwar Allah Sai kaho.
Ram kaho, Krishna kaho, Ishwar Allah Sai kaho.
In this line, the first word is Ram, the incarnation of the divine. Eons ago, revealing the inner significance of this name, Baba has said, Ra represents the root letter for Agni or fire, R represents the letter for the sun, Surya, and Ma represents the root letter for moon, Chandrama. And what does fire signify? It destroys everything and reduces it to ashes. Thus the letter Ra has the power to destroy all the sins committed by man. The letter R symbolizes the sun, which dispels the darkness of ignorance and confers the illumination of wisdom. Finally, Ma symbolizes moon, Chandrama, which has the powers of cooling the fevers that man suffers from, the fevers of ego, desires, and conferring on man peace and solace. Hence the word Rama has the triple power of destroying one's sins, conferring peace and dispelling ignorance. That is Rama. The next word is Krishna, another beautiful name of the Lord. Baba explains that Krish means attract or draw towards, as in Akarshana, which means the power to attract. He also says that Krishna is also related to the root word Krish, which means to cultivate, as a field for growing crops. Hence the name Krishna refers to the one who removes weeds from the hearts of man and sows good seeds. And what are these weeds and what are these good seeds? Krishna destroys the weeds of negative tendencies that lurk within us. He sows the seeds of positive traits, of love, of faith, of courage, of joy. Moving on, the word Ishwar literally means God. And often it is used for Lord Shiva, one among the holy trinity of gods worshipped in the Hindu religion. And the word Allah refers to the formless God of the Muslim faith. Bhagwan Baba once explained the meaning of Allah as the one supreme in which everything is contained in this universe. That is the meaning of Allah. Next comes the word Sai, and it refers to the triple incarnations of Shirdi Sai, Satya Sai and Prema Sai during the present times. Sa means divine, the one endowed with Sakala Aishwarya, that is all knowledge and wisdom, all power and prosperity, all bounty and beauty. That is our Lord Sai. The other word that comes thrice in this line is Kaho, which means to say. So in this entire line, Rama Kaho, Krishna Kaho, Ishwara Allah, Sai Kaho, we call out to God, call on God by any name, be it Rama, be it Krishna, be it Ishwar, be it Allah, or be it Sai. Let's now move on to the second line.
Buddha kaho, Guru Nanak kaho, Zoroastra Mahavir Yeshu kaho.
Buddha kaho, Guru Nanak kaho, Zoroastra Mahavir Yeshu kaho.
In this line, Buddha refers to Gautama Buddha, the founder of Buddhism. And Buddha means the enlightened one. The next word, Guru Nanak, refers to the first of the 10 gurus responsible for the birth of Sikhism. Guru means teacher or preceptor. It comes from Gu meaning darkness and Ru meaning light. Baba has reiterated that true guru is one who dispels darkness through the light of wisdom. Nanak comes from Na and Anak, meaning nothing but one. There is only one God, one guru, one divine master. That was the teaching of Guru Nanak, the founder of Sikhism. The next word is Zoroastra. Now Zoroastra was a prophet from Iran, the divine being who established one of the world's oldest religions, Zoroastrianism. In fact, it was the most important faith for at least 1,000 years, 500 years before and 500 years after Jesus Christ. The most prevalent religion during the time of Christ. He is also known to his followers as Zarathustra. Zarathustra, where Zara means gold and Ustra means light. Thus this name means golden star, the star which brought the light of the message of God, Ahura Mazda. Next word in this bhajan is Mahavira, the founder of Jainism. His name can be split as Maha meaning great and Vira referring to the valiant or the brave one, and Eshu refers to Jesus Christ. Baba has always encouraged people of different faiths to stick to their own chosen paths. In fact, he says, irrespective of the name or form we choose, the one who receives all the prayers is the same principle. During the All India Conference of the Satya Sai Seva Organization held in Prashantinilayam on 22nd November 1970, Bhagwan revealed something that we should all ruminate upon. He said, the Vedic religion was the first in time. Buddhism, which appeared about 2500 years ago, was its son. Christianity, which was influenced much by the Orient, was its grandson. And Islam, which has the prophets of Christianity as its base, was like the great grandson. And all have love as the fundamental discipline of the mind. The discipline of the mind in order to chasten it and merge man with the divine. Therefore, the practices, the customs, the belief may vary from one religion to another, but at the core, love is the basis of all faiths. And in Prashantinilayam, devotees who come from all over the globe experience this love. Miss Noshin Mehrbani is an Iranian Muslim devotee and she says, even though I was raised as a Muslim, I lived in the US and Canada for many years and had a chance to participate in different types of Christmas celebrations. Outside of the Sai community, the holiday was mostly about gifts, parties, drinking and food. It was at the Sai Center celebrations where I first felt the true spirit of love and peace that Jesus came to teach. Even this could not compare with the deep experience of universal brotherhood and holiness of my first Christmas in Prashantinilayam in Baba's divine presence. And she has been in Prashantinilayam for many Christmas celebrations in the last few years. Hence, with love in our hearts, let us sing the line, Buddha kaho, Guru Nanak kaho, Zoroastra, Mahavir, Eshu kaho. And let us adore God by names such as Buddha, Guru Nanak, Zoroastra, Mahavira or Eshu. We all call to the same divine principle. Let's move on to the next line of this bhajan.
Ram kaho, Krishna kaho, Ishwar Allah Sai kaho.
Ram kaho, Krishna kaho, Ishwar Allah Sai kaho.
Now this is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan, and here it might be pertinent to recall an incident that Dr. Deepak Anand, an alumnus of Swami's university, shared with us some time ago. It was a casual remark that Swami made, but it revealed something very profound. It was in the year 2001. One day around 6:15 in the morning when it was still dark, Bhagwan made an early entry into Sai Kulwant Hall. He went into the interview room and sent word for the research scholars of the university. They rushed and went to Bhagwan's presence, but when they reached, they found Swami sitting with his eyes closed. And Baba continued in this manner for more than half an hour. When he opened his eyes, his first question was, "What date is it today?" Dr. Deepak replied, "Swami, 6th of August. Then Swami asked what happened on this day. None of the students had any answer. Then Swami himself said, "This was the day the atom bomb was dropped at Hiroshima." And Baba continued, "Right now in Osaka, thousands of my children are praying to me that such a holocaust should not befall humanity again. I listened to their prayers and just came back." That is Satya Sai, the majestic and gracious Lord who responds to all names and all forms. Let's move on to the fourth line of this bhajan.
Yugavatar tum ho, Vishvashakti tum ho. Yugavatar tum ho, Vishvashakti tum ho.
In this line, the word Yugavatar comes from Yuga meaning cycle of time and Avatar meaning the descent of God in human form. The phrase Tumaho is sung twice in this line, and Tum means you and Ho means are. The next word is Vishwa, which denotes the entire universe, and the word Shakti refers to the cosmic energy principle that sustains the entire universe. Once during an interview with a group of students who had finished their studies and were waiting for Bhagwan to bless them with some jobs, Swami said, "Boys, I do not need you. You people have done MBAs and MSCs and M.Tech. You have done your masters. I don't have jobs for all of you. You may go. Please do not wait for me to give jobs to you," and so on. Swami went on, but the students were unrelenting. One boy among them made bold to say, "Swami, we are not interested in the job. You give it whenever you want to give it to us. All that we ask is you come and speak to us every day. Just keep us in that relationship. That is all we want." This was indeed the thought of all the boys there, because they had stayed back after their education to serve Swami and to be with Swami. And when they made this prayer, they expected an emotional response from Bhagwan. But what Swami said on that day was very different. He said, "Do you think I have no other work? How many worlds and lokas I have to take care of?" It came out very casually in Telugu. "Nenu enni lokalu chusukovali." He is the director of all lokas or dimensions of this universe. And here it might be pertinent to add that Swami always insisted on the final prayer of every bhajan session to be Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, meaning let all beings in all the worlds be happy, because He alone knows the status of all these worlds. He is the divine controller of this cosmos. Hence, Vishwa Shakti Tumaho refers to Sai as the supreme cosmic energy that is sustaining not just this universe, but the entire creation. Therefore, in this line, Yugavatar Tumaho, Vishwa Shakti Tumaho, we adore the benevolent Lord who incarnates from time to time on earth to elevate humanity from the depths of worldly existence to the heights of divinity. He is the supreme energy that is the prime reason for the creation, sustenance and the ultimate dissolution of all universes. Let's move on to the penultimate line of this bhajan.
Sarva dharma priya Sai Mahesha. Sarva dharma priya Sai Mahesha.
The first word here is Sarva dharma. It can be split as Sarva meaning all and Dharma meaning faith or religion. The second word Priya means to love or like. The third word is Sai, which we are familiar with. And the fourth word is Mahesha, which is derived from Maha meaning great and Isha meaning God. So in this line, Sarva Dharma Priya, Sai Mahesha, we extol Sai, the Supreme One, as the one who embodies all religions. Most of us are probably familiar with the Sarvadharma Stupa in Prashantinilayam, the 50-feet structure constructed for Baba's 50th birthday, which now stands just beside his residence, the Yajur Mandir. Bhagwan had strictly said that this pillar should be constructed only by the Sevadal volunteers and devotees and not by hired laborers, because he wanted it to be a symbol of love and service. And Baba gave a period of 60 days for its construction to be completed and had Brigadier Bose in charge of this whole task. Mr. Bose was wondering how the stupa would be completed within such a short time. One night there was a heavy downpour of rain for 3 continuous hours, and Mr. Bose got really worried to see what damage had occurred to the stupa. And when he saw the place the next morning, he was flabbergasted. He was stunned because all the places around the stupa were drenched, but there was not a drop of water on the stupa. It was symbolic of how Swami has been safeguarding all these faiths, all these different religions of this world with the umbrella of His divine grace. The stupa had the insignia of all the different faiths, and here was the divine umbrella protecting these divine paths to reach the Lord. Man can choose any path of his choice to find peace and happiness and reach the divine. So in this line, Sarva Dharma Priya Sai Mahesha, we hail Lord Sai as the one who loves all religions equally. He is the Supreme Lord who is worshipped by all faiths all over the world. Let's now move on to the final line of this bhajan.
Parabrahma tum ho, Parabrahma tum ho.
The only new word for us in this line is Parabrahma, which is a combination of para meaning highest and brahma denoting God or Supreme Spirit, who is the inner core of all beings. During the Christmas discourse in 1985, Baba said, "All faiths have emphasized one common factor, that there is only one God and His form is truth. All religions and all scriptures, all spiritual teachings point only to one truth, the unity of divinity." Instead of realizing this, unfortunately, men are lost in wrong paths. Indeed, Baba has time and again emphasized that not only is He God, but all of us are divine too. It is to remind us of this truth that He donned a human form. Thus in this line, Parabrahma Tumaho, we glorify the Supreme Divine Consciousness, which came to earth at different points in time, in different incarnations. Let us offer our loving gratitude to this Supreme Being who painstakingly reminds us time and again our true nature. Let us always remember that we are all children of the one Supreme Divine Father. With this, dear listeners, we are done with understanding the meaning of all the lines of this bhajan. And let us now listen to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in Prashantinilayam. And as you listen and enjoy this complete version of this bhajan, please join in.
ईश्वर अल्लाह साई कहो राम कहो कृष्ण कहो ईश्वर अल्लाह साई कहो कहो गुरु नानक कहो स्वराष्ट्र महावीर येशु कहो बुद्ध कहो गुरु नानक कहो स्वराष्ट्र महावीर येशु कहो राम
कहो कृष्ण कहो ईश्वर अल्लाह साई कहो शक्ति तुम हो राम कहो कृष्ण कहो ईश्वर अल्लाह साई कहो बुद्ध कहो गुरु नानक कहो चौरासी महावीरेशु कहो राम कहो कृष्ण कहो ईश्वर अल्लाह साई कहो युग अवतार तुम हो विश्व शक्ति तुम हो राम कहो कृष्ण कहो ईश्वर अल्लाह साई कहो
And now for the conversation with Arvind Sai, who has had innumerable opportunities in these last five precious years to not only sing bhajans in the divine presence, but also has had the chance to perform concerts, especially the Burakatha performance, a form of Telugu folk dance and song based on spiritual themes, any number of times in Bhagwan's divine presence. And he is someone who is very blessed to have had countless opportunities of divine interaction and guidance from the Lord with respect to singing and performing in the divine presence. So let's now hear this short conversation with Arvind Sai. Welcome Arvind Sai to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, thank you so much.
So Arvind, tell us, you have been so blessed to sing so many times in front of Bhagwan in the last 5 years. I have seen you sit in the first line in Sai Kulwant Hall and you have had so many interactions with Bhagwan and plenty of opportunities when Bhagwan would call you, would beckon you and ask you to sing a particular song, a particular bhajan. I really want to know how all this began. Let us go back to the day when you first sang in Mandir.
Actually, these bhajans were taught by our father to us, and later on when I joined here for the first time, I used to see my brother being a part of bhajan group.
He
used to sing, yeah, he used to sing bhajans every day. He used to get a chance in bhajan hall to sit very close to Swami and sing. Swami would see them, Swami would summon them something, and that became a kind of a aim to sing in front of Swami. So every day I used to write a letter to Swami saying that Swami, at least give me one chance to me to sing in front of you, so that whatever, my life is fulfilled. At that point of time, whatever kind of a maturity I had. So I kept on writing letter, and every day Swami, somehow or the other, he used to bless me in his own ways. He used to take letters sometimes, sometimes he used to ignore it, but I used to get an answer. So one day, November 8th, 2004, that is the day we have performed our first Burakatha performance we have given.
Burakatha is that rural folk art form, dance and singing.
Exactly.
And you had the theme as?
Sai Sandesham, Sai Sankalpam. It's on Swami. So that is the first time we performed, three of us. And we really don't know how things happened. Swami interacted with us for almost 25 minutes and then Swami suddenly called us for an interview. That's the first interview. For a first year boy, it is like a, my God, you have achieved everything. You have achieved everything after this moksha. Right. So when we went to interview room, Swami asked, Swami was interacting many things and at one point of time I asked Swami, Swami, can I sing in front of you? Then Swami asked me, are you not singing in front of me? Then I said, Swami, today I sang because I sang in Burakatha. Otherwise, I don't get a chance like that. Then Swami said, you sing. Today you sing. He just very casually said. Then my heart stopped. Swami, do you mean to say, are you saying that today I am going to sing in front of you? Then Swami said, yes, today you sing in front of me. Then I said, Swami, today means now, after this interview. Then he said, yes, you just go out, change your costume, come to bhajan hall, sit in first line, sing the bhajan, I'll take aarti and go. After you sing.
Wow. Oh my God.
And after that, we went, changed our costume, then I told the bhajan in charge, he asked me to sit in front and exactly as Swami said, after my bhajan, he took the aarti and went. He just gave a beautiful smile. That is my first bhajan.
What a beginning. Oh my God. And which bhajan you sang, Arvind?
And I chose actually to sing Swami's bhajan, Govinda Hare Gopala Hare Gopi Gopabala.
Nice, beautiful one. So that is how it all began.
Yes.
And then when did you sing next?
Nowadays, like when I sit in solitude, I just, when I look back, I feel that, you know, every single opportunity you sing in, you get a chance to sing in Mandir. It's really a greatest chance forever for all of us because, like every single bhajan, every single line I sing today, I really give a lot of gratitude to Swami that He gave me a chance. This I am telling because those days it's such a difficult chance to sing a bhajan regularly in front of Him. So I got the first chance in 2004 and the second chance I got in 2007 December.
Mm-hmm. 3 years.
3 years. So my bhajan incha said you're supposed to polish your voice, so you need to do all that. So I was practicing every day morning at 4:30 I used to get up, I used to do the bass practice so that my voice get a clarity and I get a chance to sing in it. I used to ask him, sir, can I sing? He used to tell, no, you have to practice. So it kept on.
So for 3 years you practiced?
Yes, for 3 years I used to practice early in the morning at 4:30 and then a day came in November 2007, when Akhanda Bhajan was going on in Bhajan Hall, suddenly Swami called one of the senior most singers and said, see, every day you boys will be singing, at least on Akhanda Bhajan day, 24 hours, give some new boys chance.
Mm-hmm.
At that point of time, there were no new boys actually, all are set singers. So I got the second chance again because of Swami's intervention. So I sang the second bhajan, Hey Nanda Nanda Gopala, Ananda Nanda Gopala. And like that, and after that, I used to get frequent chances once in a while. So, the most important thing I learned during these 3 years is, it is not an easy chance. It is not that you decide and you get a chance. It is he has to decide whether you will get a chance or not. So, every day if you are singing today, it is also designed by him that what bhajan you are going to sing, who is going to sing, everything is set. That's what I go.
And it is a fulfillment of a penance.
Exactly.
And it is the reward of a prayer.
Exactly. And moving on, I just want to narrate one incident because from my childhood, my father would never let us, my brother and me, not to skip any bhajan session. Anywhere we used to go, anywhere in Hyderabad, we used to go to that bhajan session, anywhere it is, and we used to attend. So this became a part and parcel of our life. And sometimes in the samiti, I used to see the Swami's photograph and I used to cry very badly. I don't know for what. But when I came here, one day, one bhajan session I'm going to miss because Swami asked me to remove my clips, dentures. So when I said, Swami, tomorrow I am going to Bangalore. So one day I am not going to be there for bhajan. Please forgive me. I am going to lose the chance. Then Swami asked me, at what time you are going to come back? I said, Swami, I am going to come back at evening 5 o'clock. What time bhajan starts? Swami asked. I said, Swami, bhajan starts at 5. So at 5 o'clock, again he asked me, at 5 o'clock where you will be? I said, Swami, I will be in train. Train reaches at what time, he asked. Swami, I said, Swami, it reaches at 5:30 to Puttaparthi. So that half an hour, you just sing as though I am there with you, in train itself. It will reach me, he said. You do the bhajan wherever you are, it will reach me. So,
fantastic.
So that is one more thing, like, you know, wherever you are, you need not be doing, maybe you are doing an office work or anywhere, but if you are constantly contemplating on him, that will surely reach him. That's what, it is not only a message for me, it is a message for all. That wherever we are, he will be listening to us, he will be guiding us, he will be guarding us at every moment.
Wonderful. I think that is what Bhagwan also mentioned one occasion. Wherever my glory is sung, I install myself there.
Exactly.
And that has been your experience, and he has personally told you that.
Yes.
You can be in the train, you can be in the shopping complex, you can be anywhere.
Exactly.
We just have to switch on, sing our heart out and connect to him.
That's
thank
right.
you very much, Arvind Sai. I know there is so much more that you can share, and possibly in future episodes of Bhajan Classroom, we'll get to hear more from you. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Arvind Sai, a talented singer and member of the Prashanti Bhajan Group and currently a part of the Radio Sai team. Arvind Sai joined Radio Sai after his Master's in Business Administration in the year 2011. With this, dear listeners, we have reached the end of this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, please do send us your feedback and suggestions. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. listener@radiosai.org. And now, as the clock marches on, it is 7:33 in the studios of Radio Sai, and time to wind up this segment of Thursday Live straight from the studios. My colleague Yatharta was the recordist, sound and audio engineer for this program you heard just now. And now I have to pass on the mic to Abhishek, my colleague, who will take over for our 1 hour Hindi special. And I will be back again and at 8:30 for yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. And today you are going to listen to a fascinating conversation with Mr. Ted Henry, an accomplished journalist and TV broadcaster from the United States with more than 40 years of broadcasting experience. And for the last 3-4 years, he has been intensely engaged in Sai journalism, collecting stories of Bhagwan, of his love, of his service from all around the world. He was raised a Catholic, but today he says, Baba is my Christ consciousness. So there is plenty to hear from him. I wish you, join me again at 8:30 plus or minus minute 5 minutes for yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. Till then, loving Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam.